This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Payne here, live from the NVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. You've heard a lot about the General Data Protection Regulation in Europe that has went into effect this year, but what is GDPR? And is this legislation something we should do here in the U.S.? CEO and founder of DP Organizer, Egil Bergenlund, is here to explain what GDPR is. Thanks for joining me, Egil.
Thanks for having me.
Before we talk about GDPR, could you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I have a background as a lawyer. I used to work as a data protection lawyer, and I have also worked a lot with compliance with fintech companies here in the Nordic region. And now I am the founder and CEO of a company called DP Organizer, and we help companies all over the world to manage GDPR and other data protection-related challenges. So we build software that helps privacy professionals.
Tell me or pinpoint the exact time that sparked the GDPR legislation in the EU, because it kind of feels like it just happened.
I wish I could, but it's a long process. We started in Europe updating, creating GDPR many years ago, actually. The history is that before GDPR, we had something called the EU Directive that was supposed to protect people's integrity. But that was from 1995, which is very long ago if you look at how the development of data processing has happened during the last 20 years. I mean, 20 years ago, we didn't have Facebook, and Google wasn't born, and Amazon was a tiny online bookseller. So a lot has changed, and that is what really created the need for an updated European law on this topic. The world has changed, and we process personal data in a completely different way that we did now compared to how we did 20 years ago. So we needed something that is fit for the world that we live in today. That's the reason behind GDPR.
So what exactly does the law say when it comes to GDPR?
It's a very extensive framework. It has 99 different articles that companies and organizations have to understand. But the fundamental idea behind the GDPR is that companies and organizations, they need data. They need to work with data. They need to be able to collect and use data to develop their business and to provide great products and services to consumers. Authorities and states also, they need to process data related to individuals. So that is something that we have to continue to do. However, we need to, at the same time, respect personal integrity while we do that. So what GDPR essentially says is you may, as a company, process data related to individuals, but when you do, you have to take responsibility. You have to be transparent about it. You have to let people understand how you collect and use their data, who you share it with, and you need to make sure that the data is safe and secure also. And one important part of GDPR is to make sure that individuals, you and I, are in control of how our data is used by different companies and organizations. So it's about making sure that companies and organizations take responsibility for how they use data. And it's about giving individuals control over how their data is used. That is essentially what GDPR is.
So does GDPR actually define what exactly personal information is? Is it just your name and your birthday, or is it more?
It's a great question, and it doesn't define specifically what it is, but it has a very broad definition. And personal data, it's actually any kind of data or any collection or set of data that can be related back to you. So it can be your name, your email address, but it could also be your IP number or a digital photo or a combination of different data that together can be related to you. So it's a very broad definition, and that is also the purpose, to encompass as much as possible.
When I think of permission, I always, you know, if I'm going to a new website, they'll always ask, hey, can we put some cookies on your computer so it would be easier to come back to our website? Wasn't that enough or not?
that's one part, how companies tell you about how they use cookies and different tracking technologies online. That's one part. But what GDPR says is that a company needs to make sure you understand all of their data processing. So you have the right to understand any kind of data that they have collected from you, from yourself. But it could also be so that they have bought or got hold of information from a third party or someone else, or that they create personal data about you when you interact with a company. For example, if you use Netflix or another, or Facebook or whatever kind of service, they will track over time how you use those products and services, and they will build a profile on you. And what GDPR says is that you have the right to understand that so that you can make a conscious decision on whether you think that is okay or not. So how they process data through cookies and tracking technologies, that is important, but that is only one thing. Companies these days collect data from a lot of different sources and use it in a lot of different ways. What happens online is only one small piece of the puzzle.
Will you be able to demand websites to take your information off? I know in the U.S. we have a website called the White Pages, where it just has your name, your address. It has some basic information about you. And some websites, they say, hey, if you want us to remove your information, you're going to have to send a photo ID through the mail and do all kinds of other stuff. With the GDPR, is something like that going to be easier, though? Like, can you just email them and say, hey, take my stuff off?
So we said that GDPR essentially about two things. One is the obligations that are imposed on companies. And the other part of GDPR is the rights that individuals get. And you're right that under GDPR, individuals will have more tools to use to exercise their rights to privacy. So, for example, we talk about the right to be forgotten and the right to erasure, and also the right to transfer your data from one service to another. So, yes, it will be easier to go to a company or a website and say, hey, I don't want you to keep my data any longer. I want you to delete it, or I want to have it back, or I want to transfer it to another website. That will be easier. It will not be black and white, so like that you always, in every case, have that right. In certain circumstances, the companies will be able to object. Under the basics, you do have that right that you can exercise. You will still need to identify yourself, of course, so that they do not delete someone else's data. You have to prove that you are really you. But yes, you do have those kind of rights.
Now, just to clarify, the GDPR is just for the EU. It won't be for U.S. websites, right?
It will be for U.S. websites or any website and companies that process data related to people in Europe. So if you're an American company, but you provide your products or services to people in Europe, then GDPR will most definitely apply to you. So it has global reach, and that is one very important aspect of GDPR, that it applies globally, actually.
And that's where my next question is. There is a lot of U.S. companies that just said, I'm just not going to have my website available in the EU. Yeah. What does that say about the company?
Yeah, that is so interesting. We have certainly seen that. And I mean, from a European perspective, I think that's so sad. And I certainly hope that will change. I hope that it is so that they just haven't been able to prepare yet. I think many companies, first, when they start digging into the details of GDPR, they realize that it can be quite cumbersome if you haven't worked with data protection before and you haven't really thought about these questions before. But you're right, we have seen that some American companies, they have stopped providing their services to Europe because then they don't have to take all the actions mandated by the GDPR. But that means, of course, that all of us here in Europe, we no longer get access to those products and services. And that is sad. I certainly hope that will change.
Now, are there any fines involved if you don't comply with the GDPR laws?
Oh, yes, there are. Data protection and the right to privacy is something that the European legislators think are really, really important. And we have had laws before, but one of the problems of the previous laws was that it hasn't really hurt if you broke those rules. So now the legislator has made sure that it will really, really hurt if you break the rules. So a company that violates the GDPR, for certain violations, they will be able to get a fine of up to 4% of global turnover, or 20 million euros, whichever is higher. So the fines can be really, really big for the most serious violation.
I read somewhere, and I hope I got the math right, that as an example, if Amazon was fined, they would lose $2 billion if they were fined, which is, I think, 2 years or a year's worth of their revenue. And that is a pretty hefty fine. How will they be able to enforce this?
That remains to be seen exactly how that will work in practice. Now we are 3 weeks in from when the rules kicked in, but it will be different European supervisory authorities that will enforce this also in relation to companies outside Europe. But it's also important to understand that the rules are not built like if you have a breach, then you will get this fine. It's not that easy. If you have a data breach, for example, that is certainly something that can spark an investigation from a supervisory authority. Then they will look at things like, how well did you try to prevent it? Did you have adequate security in place? Or could you have done more to prevent it? And they will also look at things like when you had the security incident, did you notify the affected people like you should? Did you notify the authorities, etc.? It's not like if you have an incident that you get, then you get the 4% fine. Then they will take a lot of different things into account when deciding how big the fines will be. But it will certainly hurt if you have a big data breach and you haven't tried to prevent it or mitigate it as you should have.
Now, we've been talking about like large corporations, but what about the smaller businesses? Are they going to be affected negatively by the GDPR?
Very interesting question. I mean, if you look at us, we have customers now in all different segments. We have customers who are 50, 60,000 employees, really big companies, but we also have companies with around 15 or 20 employees, really small companies. And the reason for that is the fact that GDPR applies to everyone, regardless of if you're small or if you're big. As long as you process personal data, which more or less everyone does, of course, then GDPR applies to you. The problem for a small company is often that you are not used to dealing with complex regulations. It's new to you to have to think about data security and contact with supervisory authorities, etc. That is something that has historically been more of an enterprise reality and an enterprise problem. But that will change now with GDPR. The benefit of being a small company is that you have less legacy. A big corporation, you have a lot of technical legacy and you have systems and processes that you have to change a lot. And it can be really expensive and difficult to adapt to GDPR. But a small company, often for them, it is easier to make the necessary adaptations because you have less legacy. And if you do take this seriously and you show the world around you, including your customers, that you take data protection and the privacy of your customers very seriously, that can be very important for your brand. This is a way of building trust with your customers. We see that more and more consumers all over the world are concerned about how their data is used, and they start requesting from the companies that they interact with that they take responsibility for the data that they use. So we certainly see that also as an important drive for both small and big companies, that they are not only concerned about the regulations and these big fines, they are actually more concerned about how irresponsible privacy practices and data breaches, how that could negatively affect their relationships with their customers.
Now, back in March, Peter Thiel, he actually made a comment about the GDPR where he said there are no successful tech companies in Europe and they're just jealous of the U.S., so they're punishing us. Why do you think he would say something like this?
Certainly a very interesting statement, of course. I mean, that this is not the creation of European companies, but I think we have a very different history of the idea of privacy and data protection in Europe compared to the U.S. This is big news to American companies. I mean, like I said, we have had very strict data protection rules in Europe for many years, and now we are just making them fit for the modern world. But reality is a bit different in the U.S. You haven't had the same kind of privacy-centric regulations earlier. But now I think we're seeing globally a very interesting movement. We see that more and more countries are adapting their own privacy regulations. And when they do that, they look at GDPR. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had these interesting news about the California Privacy Act, which is a great example. The California Privacy Act, that doesn't in full at all reflect the GDPR. But we can certainly see a movement towards giving consumers more understanding of how companies use their data and giving consumers more right to object and to have a say in how their data is used. I think GDPR will sort of set the new bar, and it will not be only a European idea and way of working going forward. It will spark new regulations all over the world.
Absolutely. I know I would love to have something like the GDPR for use here in the U.S. The idea to have control over your information, where maybe I could get some kind of incentive to loan it out to either opt in or out. I mean, that's a dream. Because right now it's like I feel like everybody's just making money off of my name.
Yeah, but exactly. And that's also coming back to your previous questions about what does it mean that the Europe and American company choose not to implement GDPR in their way of working. I mean, I think it's that also for American citizens. Why shouldn't Americans have the same right to privacy? Why shouldn't you enjoy the same rights and the same protection as we do here in Europe? So I think what an American company says when they choose to not live by GDPR is that they do not agree with the fundamental right to privacy as stated and as defined under GDPR. They are not willing to give American citizens those same rights as we get in Europe. I think that's sad, and I think that's something that they should think carefully about.
Well, Agal, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. And for those listening, where can they find more information about you?
DPOrganizer.com.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MasonVeraPaine.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.